shortly after commissioning, she sailed on what was to be a history-making maiden voyage to Europe. Averaging 35 knots in speed, she made the Atlantic crossings in 3.5 days each way.
She bragged about her speed on the water even as air travel was cutting the time between London and New York to a matter of hours. The SS United States on its maiden voyage in 1952, a high water mark for a tide of technology that was receding. 100 feet longer than the Titanic and faster than anything in its class to this day, she holds a transatlantic speed record for a passenger ship. Today's luxury bloated cruise ships are lucky if they can go even half as fast as the SS United States. During its 17-year golden age, it was the preferred passage to Europe for the likes of John Wayne, Elizabeth Taylor, Harry Truman, Dwight Eisenhower, John F. Kennedy, and a 22-year-old Rhodes Scholar named Bill Clinton. It ferried the Mona Lisa back to France after the painting's 1963 tour of the United States.
We are standing in a first-class suite area, and basically it's wide open because all of the initial interior dividing walls have been removed. They were removed by a previous owner because they were laden with asbestos. So what you have is really a blank slate on the interior with just this extraordinary space that is just ready for reimagining, redevelopment on the interior. Her bones are intact. She's still very structurally sound because she was so overbuilt to begin with. So she really is, she's ready for her next act.
That next act needs to come soon, according to Susan Gibbs, granddaughter of the ship's architect, William Francis Gibbs, and executive director of the SS United States Conservancy. She spoke to us on board the ship, which is docked in Philadelphia, and awaiting a fate that could include the scrap heap. That would be a shame, according to Stephen Ujifuza, maritime historian and author of A Man and His Ship, which is the biography of Susan Gibbs' grandfather, who built the SS United States for the ages.
During the 1950s, she was the most popular and most modern transatlantic liner. She carried huge lists of people from all walks of life, everyone from Marilyn Monroe and Salvador Dali all the way to immigrants from Europe, including the now famous author David Macaulay, who traveled over to America with his family.
And what was the ship tasked to do at times when it wasn't carrying passengers? It was quite a workhorse.
Yes, it was a convertible troop ship designed to speed over 10,000 miles with a full division of troops without refueling in the event of war. However, the ship was never called to perform her military duties, but that indeed was the rationale for her extraordinary and unprecedented speed.
What kind of speed are we talking about here?
Well, her surface speed was about 32 knots or so, but her top speed, which was government classified because of her military use, she achieved on her trials off the Virginia Capes in 1952 was 38.32 knots, top sustained speed. That's about 44 miles per hour. So my favorite analogy is imagine the Chrysler Building turned on its side and being pushed through the Atlantic at over 40 miles an hour.
And just to add to that, she could go faster in reverse than the Titanic could go forward.
That's amazing. And what was the need for that speed at the time, aside from the strategic dimension of troop transport?
Well, there were two factors at work. The first was that starting in the 1850s, when steamship travel became a regular means of transport across the Atlantic, there was a prize known as the Blue Riband of the Atlantic, and it was awarded to the ship with the fastest average speed across the ocean. And this was a time, starting in the 1850s all the way to the 1950s, when people traveled by ship not necessarily for fun, but to get from point A to point B. So the fastest ship often garnered the greatest prestige and the greatest profits. And during the age of steam, nations such as France, England, Germany, and Italy spent millions upon millions of dollars subsidizing their steamship lines to create faster and faster ships. This was the cutting edge of technology. The SS United States was the latest iteration of this quest for the Blue Riband. But also, in terms of one more thing on the military front, was that the faster a ship was, the harder it was for a submarine to get its sights onto the ship and torpedo it. And that was key during World War II, which stopped the Queen Elizabeth and the Queen Mary from being torpedoed when carrying 14,000 troops, a wartime event.
And what about the sense of luxury on the ship?
Yes, the ship certainly was very luxurious as long as you were traveling first class. My grandmother's diaries recount the caviar, the champagne, the bouquets of flowers, the dancing, and there were over 1,000 crew members on board servicing passengers' every need. So it was a fancy hotel blasting across the sea at top speed, and a fabulous experience for many passengers.
The ship was very luxurious for her time, but because she was built to be absolutely fireproof, she didn't have the luxurious woods and other fancy touches that a lot of older ships, like the Titanic of 40 years before, had. But she was kept absolutely clean.
What would it take to get the SS United States up and at least something that people could actually visit?
Yes, well, the SS United States Conservancy has been working very hard to do exactly that. And the sky's the limit. I mean, I see a combination of uses. There's really almost 500,000 square feet of space inside the vessel. And so in addition to an extraordinary museum and educational center, we'll have to have an aluminum piano to anchor a room there. So I see this as an amazing venue for a wedding of old technology with new technology.
This ship would be like Penn Station in terms of losing it. Today's cruise ships are much larger than the SS United States for much more amenities, but they're not comparable in terms of how they're built for speed and for aesthetics. I mean, this ship is basically looks like an overgrown yacht.
So how much money is it going to take?
Well, that's the question. The SS United States Conservancy has recently issued an SOS, essentially, because the costs associated with keeping the ship here at her pier in Philadelphia are daunting. And so we really had no choice but to explore the dreaded scenario of potentially scrapping the vessel, which, needless to say, something that I have dedicated the last decade of my life to avoid at all costs. We've never been closer to saving the ship, but we've never been closer to losing the ship.
Susan Gibbs is executive director of the SS United States Conservancy, granddaughter of the ship's architect, William Francis Gibbs. And Stephen Ujifuza is a maritime historian, author of A Man and His Ship, which is the biography of Susan Gibbs' grandfather.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.